listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, March 6th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Is He Your Salvation?
It's always a joy to hear them sing. And, you know, when we first went into evangelism many years ago, what would take place is we would take, and of course, they would sing and I would preach. Then as the boys would get a little bit older, of course, the Eber family knows, even as we was going to their church in Roanoke, Indiana, that we dismissed all the children out, sixth grade and below, and my boys would go in, and we would have two revivals in one. We'd have a children's revival, and we would have a teen and adult revival. And we did that for many, many years, but it's always a joy to be able to have them to sing, as I said a moment ago, right before I speak. Let's go back, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 2, book of Hebrews chapter 2, if you will. And let's look down in verse 3, Hebrews chapter 2, and in verse 3, notice what the Bible says again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I want to speak this morning on, is he your salvation? Of course, this is a building theme. This is a time where we come together and we're talking about building our individual lives. Last week, I spoke about the rock, and we talked about he is the rock, and he should be our rock. And then the question, is he your rock? And so I said, he's the rock, my rock, and is he your rock? And this morning, I want us to note here what the Bible is talking about. The Bible is talking about a great salvation. Now, there is no salvation that is more greater than that which the Lord gives himself. And that is salvation from something to something. And so it's salvation from that which is death, sin, and hell, to that which is salvation of heaven, eternal life. And so I want to talk about that this morning as we're going to talk about, is he your salvation? Very simple. By the way, if you're here this morning and you're saved, all this is going to do is just confirm some things. You know, many times, young people, adults, young couples, older, middle-aged type of people will come and they will talk to us on an individual basis. And we have qualified counselors here, soul winners, that's able to take the Bible and show somebody how they can settle scripturally that they know for sure that they're going to go to heaven. But so many times, there might be somebody who would come, maybe have a church background. And so what we do is we read the scripture to them, and we tell them this, that two things are going to happen when you hear the word of God. If you are really saved, I mean, if you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven, it becomes a confirmation, an affirmation. That's called assurance. Okay? And so when you hear the word of God and it's speaking about salvation, maybe it's speaking about heaven, maybe it's a message on hell, maybe it's a message along that line, maybe eternal security or something along that doctrinal line. When you hear that preached, one of two things happen. One is the Holy Spirit of God inside you confirms it. And he says, you know, remember when you did that? Remember when that took place. Remember when you made that decision. And that's called assurance, a confirmation, an affirmation, if you will. Well, then something else happens, however, and that would be this. The Holy Spirit begins to prick your heart, and the Holy Spirit says, you never did that. You need to do that. And so it's God that does the drawing. It is God that makes it clear in our heart whether truly we have been born again or not. Here's what God does. God uses tools. Now, how does God do that? He uses the tool of the Word of God. Somebody says, well, I got under conviction because I heard a song. Well, you may have identified with the song, and maybe the song reminded you of a truth that you heard, but the song does not necessarily give conviction. Conviction comes from that which is the tool of the Word of God. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to answer the question about salvation. I don't know about you, Brother Palmer was singing and did a tremendous job, both he and the choir, and singing that song just a moment ago. But I'm sitting up here, and some of you are watching me and probably wondering, what is wrong with Brother Wells? You know, I'm sitting up here, tears are rolling down my face, and just thinking about that there is a place that's called heaven. And I've got loved ones that's in heaven today. My mom went home to be with the Lord at an early age in her life, and she's in heaven. My dad went home to be with the Lord at an early age in his life, and he's in heaven today. And I have a great burden, and the staff knows this, and anybody that knows Brother Wells and knows that I have a great burden for people to come to know Christ as their Savior. In the Bible, you'll see over in the book of 1 John, you need not to turn there. I will give you many scriptures to turn from or to, but you'll see in the book of 1 John, you'll see that there is five chapters in the book of 1 John. In those five chapters, you'll see that there's 105 verses that's in the book of 1 John. The word know in the book of 1 John is mentioned 36 times. Somebody gets saved and they say, well, Brother Wells, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Where do I go from there? Is there something I can read that would help me? Is there something I could read that would encourage me? And when I was a young preacher, I would say, well, you need to read the book of John. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You need to read that book. But in years gone by, as I became a little bit older, I said, no, here's what I want you to do. I want you to read 1 John. Not the book of John, but 1 John. Now the book of John's coming right after 1 John, as you'll find out as I give that to you to read after you finish 1 John. But I want you to go to 1 John, I would tell them, and I want you to read. Now why? Because more than any other book in the entire Bible does God use the word know. About knowing for sure that you're going to go to heaven. So if you're sitting here this morning, you say, well, I think I received Jesus Christ years ago, but sometimes I doubt, and sometimes there's a question mark, and sometimes there's an uncertainty. But I do remember a time, and you'll be able to identify this in just a minute as we get into your Bible. But you say, I think I remember a time. Well, you could go to 1 John and read that, and the Holy Ghost of God will help you to understand whether you truly have been born again or not. You know, everybody, statement number one, needs to be saved. Everybody needs to be saved. Doesn't matter who your parents are, everybody needs to be saved. It does not matter this morning who your pastor is, everyone needs to be saved. It doesn't matter this morning who your friends are, everyone needs to be saved. It does not matter this morning if you're a Baptist, everyone needs to be saved. Doesn't matter this morning if you're a Methodist, everyone needs to be saved. Doesn't matter this morning if you came to this church and you're a Lutheran. Everyone needs to be saved. Doesn't matter if you're a Catholic this morning. Everyone needs to be saved. God said he's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So that which is the word of God that teaches us about salvation is for everyone. It doesn't matter their religious persuasion, and it doesn't matter their religious background. It doesn't matter how they was raised up, and it doesn't matter how they're growing old. It doesn't matter where they came from, and it doesn't matter where they're going. It doesn't matter what type of religious institution they say is the religious institution of their personal persuasion. It does not matter any of those things. The Bible is very, very clear that everyone needs to be saved. The Bible says why that's true. David said over in Psalm 51 in verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The Bible says over in Psalm 58 and verse 3, the Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray, it says, as soon as they are born, speaking lies. You know, the Bible tells us that heaven is a perfect place. The Bible tells how sin came into the world. The Bible says over in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam made that choice, that dreadful day in the Garden of Eden, and Adam stepped up to the plate, and he decided that he was going to take his very action of that moment with his decision and disobey God, every person that would be born all through, down through the ages of history, would be born of the seed of Adam. Every single one of us could trace our lineage, our heritage, all the way back to Adam. Because Adam did sin, everybody here is born a sinner. But you know, the Bible says that there's a price for sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know, God cannot let any of us into heaven if we don't have sin forgiven. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's only one thing that would cause you to come short of reaching heaven, and that is sin. Sin separates you from God. Sin causes you not to be able to reach that where heaven is and God's glory is existing. And so because of sin, you and I cannot go to heaven. We cannot get rid of our sin because perhaps we try to do something good. We cannot get rid of our sin, and we cannot decide to try and outlive a life that is greater than our sin, because you and I were born sinners. You and I were born in iniquity. You and I were born estranged from God. So there, it doesn't matter if a dog barks or not, a dog will always be a dog. Barking does not make it a dog. But because it is a dog, it will bark. You and I being born a sinner, it doesn't matter. If you sit here this morning and you say, preacher, I have never committed a sin in my life. Doesn't matter. You're still born a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we're born sinners, whether a person says that they have sinned or not, whether a person says, well, you know, preacher, I've never done anything like that before, it does not matter, because God says that you and I are born sinners. Now, it might be the person says, well, I've never sinned, because they don't understand sin. They don't know what sin is. A sin is that which is breaking one of God's commandments. It's that which is standing uprightly and disobeying God. My mother never had to sit me down and say, now, Mike, as a young man, she never had to do this. She never had to sit me down and say, now, Mike, today I'm going to teach you three easy lessons on how to tell a lie, think a bad thought, or commit something wicked inside of your heart. My mother never had to do that. But I'll be honest with you, coming up as a young man, I figured it out all by myself. You know why? Simply because I was born a sinner. And the natural inclination of a sinner is that a sinner will commit sin. Have you ever said a bad word? Have you ever thought a wrong thought? Have you ever committed anything inside of your heart, ill will towards somebody else? And if that be true, I've got news for you. You're practicing just what a sinner does, and a sinner practices doing sin. The problem with that is you and I cannot have forgiveness of our sin by ourselves. Joe Henry Hawkins, a famous preacher of many years ago, was preaching over in Little Rock, Arkansas. He went to see a doctor one day, was feeling kind of ill, and so he went into the doctor one day and tried to win the doctor to the Lord Jesus Christ. He began to witness to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, I'll just be honest with you, Mr. Hawkins, I don't believe that I have sinned. He said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, I've never committed adultery. I've never robbed a store. Well, he was talking about what we would consider in our eyes a big sin. He said, I've never done this, and I've never done this, and I've never done this. And Mr. Hawkins, I want to tell you, I have never sinned. He asked the doctor that day, he said, what is the most deadly poison, the strongest poison known to man? And the doctor said, well, that's potassium cyanide. He said, well, let me ask you something. He said, how much potassium cyanide do you have to take in order to be a dead man? He said, do you have to consume the whole body of that which is the content of the bottle? Is that what you have to do? Consume the whole thing? He said, from what I understand, Dr. Hawkins said, and I'm not a medical doctor, but from what I understand, if you just take one dab of potassium cyanide and you put it underneath the tongue, that leads right into the blood vessels and throughout the entire body, just one little dab will do you. I mean, just one little dab and you'll be dead. And the doctor said, well, that's right. Well, the Bible says that when you sin against God, just one little sin will cause a person not to be able to reach the glory of God. One little sin will cause you not to be able to enter into God's presence. If you could go to heaven with your sin not forgiven, then heaven would no longer be a perfect place. Heaven would be Texas. And we know heaven is not Texas. All right? And so we understand this. We understand statement number one. We understand everyone needs to be saved. Everyone has a condition whereby they need forgiveness of sin and they need eternal life. Well, the Bible says over in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 2, he is our propitiation, it says, for our sins. And not, it says, for our only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so he is the one that is the only one that can give us forgiveness of sin. The Bible says, listen to it, Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 6, the Bible says, the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. John the Baptist saw our Lord coming across the Jordan bank, if you will, getting ready to come down to meet him there in the Jordan River. And John the Baptist explicitly, directly pointed to him and said, behold the Lamb of God that cometh to take away the sins of the world. There's only one person, that has ever been recorded in history that went to the grave and that God the Father, God, the universe, if you would please, of the universe, raised him from the dead, and that is Jesus Christ. God, the Bible says, and you know it well, over in the book of John, chapter 3, and in verse 16, and you know it, you heard it as a child. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So everlasting life is not in what I do. Everlasting life is not in me being religious. Everlasting life is not in me being baptized. Matter of fact, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God said that a person is trying to work their way to heaven is not going to get to heaven. Why? Because Jesus said over the book of John, chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus did not say, I am one of the ways. So it's not him in any other way. If a person is trusting Jesus Christ this morning and baptism, that's two ways. If a person is trusting Jesus Christ this morning and being good, that's two ways. If a person is trusting Jesus Christ this morning and they're trusting good works, that's two different ways. If a person is trusting Jesus Christ, this, oh no. Jesus said emphatically, dogmatically, very, very clear. He said himself, being a witness of God the Father, who's the creator God of the universe, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one way to God the Father, and that is through the Son, Jesus Christ. So we see this, statement number one, we all need to be saved. Everyone needs to be saved. Now may I say statement number two, everyone can be saved. Everyone can be saved. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, the Bible says, it says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead, it says, to sins, should, listen to it now, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. So it's only through Jesus Christ, the one that bare our sins in his own body on the tree. You know, significantly, the Bible says 162 times in the New Testament about hell. The Bible says 280 times in the entire Bible about hell. Listen to a description of hell, if you will. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in verse 22, the Bible says a fire shall burn, it says, onto the lowest hell. You know, Brother Rodler, I was out soul winning yesterday, a long time yesterday, and I came across a man, and Dave, you won't believe this, but I came across a man, and I was starting to tell him about Jesus Christ. And he said, well, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I believe that I'm in hell right now. And I said, well, I beg a difference with you, because here's what the Bible says. And I started to show him a description of hell. A description of hell shows us that in hell, there's fire. In hell is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And we're not in a place that's being consumed of hell, if you would please, or by hell through fire right now. But the Bible says here, listen to it, Job chapter 11 and verse 8. The Bible says, God is higher than the heaven and deeper than hell. Psalm 9 and verse 17. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 20. The Bible says hell and destruction are never full. You know why hell and destruction are never full? Hell and destruction are never full because it was not created for you and I. So because it's not created for you and I, every time somebody drops off into hell, God has to expand hell. You know, the Bible says that hell was created, in your Bible, it says hell was created for the devil and his angels. Doesn't mention you. That's how come God said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That word repentance there means change of mind. God said, I'm not willing that anybody should burn in hell, but I want everybody. He said, it's my will. God said, it's my will that everybody change their mind. Change their mind about what? Change their mind about the way to go to heaven. And all through the Bible teaches about the way to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to die and burn in hell. That's the passion of my life. The passion of my life is to tell as many people about Jesus Christ as I possibly can. That's why I go to the nursing homes, and that's why I go to the hospitals, and that's why I go to the business centers. That's why I go to people that's in the schools and people that's in the colleges and people that's in the neighborhoods. Why? Because I don't want anybody ever. I don't want you, and I don't want your family members. I don't want your friends, and I don't want your enemies. I don't want anybody to ever have to taste the fires of hell. The Bible says here in the book of Isaiah chapter 5 to verse 14, hell hath enlarged herself. Every time a human being dies, God said, I've got to enlarge in the mouth of hell. I've got to enlarge in the pit of hell. Why? Because there's people coming there that should not be coming there. Jesus Christ died so that no one would go there. Now, I'm sorry to say that there's false religions all over the world. I'm sorry to say that there's people out there that do not understand the simplicity of the gospel. I'm sorry to say that there's people out there that's listening to this broadcast. I promise you, there's people out there that's going to hear this message that are going to say, but no, I'm trusting my church. But nowhere in the Bible does it say to trust the church in order to go to heaven. Nowhere in the Bible. And we're talking about the Creator God. We're talking about the one that created the heavens and the earth. We're talking about the one that allowed his son, yes, gave his son a commission to come to earth, shed his blood, die, go to that which is a grave, be raised from the dead. We're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We're talking about the only one that shed his blood, died, is coming back again. There is only one Savior. There's not two Saviors. There is only one way to go to heaven. There's not two ways to go to heaven. Who is it? I'll tell you who it is. It's Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's who it is. Wait, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 31 and verse 16, the Bible says, I cast him down, it says, to hell. So we know that hell is down. Did you get that from your Bible? The Bible says here, I cast him down, it says, to hell, with them that descend into the pit. So we know that hell is located in a downward fashion. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 2 and in verse 2, out of the belly of hell cried I. We know that Jonah was the one that was engulfed by the whale. Amos chapter 9 and verse 2, the Bible says they dig into hell. You mean you can dig? By the way, you don't dig upward. You dig downward. Habakkuk chapter 2 and in verse 5, the Bible says, who enlarged his desire as hell is as death that cannot be satisfied. It's a continual opening, swelling, broadening. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, the Bible says, Jesus said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body or soul and body in hell. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 4, God spared not. It says, but cast down, it says, listen to it, cast the angels down to hell. James chapter 3 and in verse 16, the tongue is set on fire of hell. Revelation chapter 20, and by the way, the only member of your body that is compared to hell is the tongue. Isn't that something? You know most marriages are destroyed by the tongue? You know most relationships are destroyed by the tongue? Wait, here's what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Whosoever is not found written in a book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know, from time to time, I'll fly out and I'll preach a conference around America to some pastors and workers. And sometimes I'll go overseas and I'll hold pastors' conferences to train pastors and to help pastors. And last year, we had over 3,000 pastors that came to one of these conferences for training and to help them to understand how to pastor a church and how to have people skills and how to work with people and how to direct people in their lives and things of that nature. And sometimes I'll fly out. But, you know, if I try to get on a plane without having a ticket, it's not going to work. If I show up and I walk up there and I'm smiling like a beaver earlobe to earlobe, and I walk up there like Mr. Sunshine himself, and I walk up there and I'm bouncing along, and I'm just happy as can be, and I walk up there and I go to that which is the gate attendant, well, first off, I'm not even going to make it past security. But if I walk up to security and I walk up there and I'm bouncing along just happy in Jesus, amen, and I'm bouncing along like some goober that just got off of some strange spaceship, and I come bouncing along and I come up to the security guards and I say, I just want you to know that I'm boarding that plane and I'm heading over to Cambodia. They might look at me and they might say, where's your boarding pass? Let me see your passport. I'd like to see identification. Oh, I don't need one of those. I'm me. I'm Mr. Sunshine. And by the way, it doesn't matter what your last name is, whether it's Sunshine or Bloomberg. I didn't say Bloomberg, I said Bloomberg. All right, no, it doesn't matter. Wait a minute, watch this, if you will. It doesn't matter who you are. But if you walk up that gate and you don't have something to validate that you've rented a seat for that trip, you're not getting past the gate. How is it that some people wait till the last minute to get saved? They say, well, I'm not going to get saved right now because after all, I've got my life. God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We can't boast on tomorrow because we don't know if tomorrow will ever come. But yet some people with their lives, they play Russian roulette with eternity. They say, here's what I'm going to do is I'm just going to wait. I'm going to put it off. Some people do that with their Christian lives. Some people say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll start going to church on Sunday night and growing as a believer when I get a little bit older. The problem is, by the time you said that sentence, you have already become a little bit older. Do we understand that life has no certain promise of tomorrow? And so we put it off and we put it off. We put off our salvation and we put off our relationship and our service to Jesus Christ. We decide that we're only going to give Jesus Christ so much of our life. But yet God wants us to be a person that understands who he is and he is well deserving of all that is our life. I said, statement number one, I said, everyone needs to be saved. I said, statement number two, everyone can be saved. Statement number three, and I'm getting ready to close her down. Statement number three, everybody gets saved the same way. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, listen to it now, is born of God. So a person has to understand who Jesus Christ is. He is not one of the Christ, he is the Christ. The Bible says 90 times in the book of John about that which is the word believe. So God tells us that we're supposed to believe on him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, for Christ sent not, watch, this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Yet there's people out there that say that you must be baptized in order to go to heaven. And the Apostle Paul said, I want you to understand this, that I did not come to baptize one person. And by the way, are you listening to me? The Apostle Paul had a great burden for everybody to get saved. But he said, I didn't come to baptize. He said, I came, and he separates the baptism from the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I didn't come to baptize you, but rather I came to preach the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Well, listen to it. The Bible always has an answer for every question that is in the asking. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So what is the gospel? The gospel is telling people that Jesus died for them. The gospel is not leaving a dead Christ. The gospel is helping them to understand that we don't have a dead Christ. But the gospel is the death, the burial. And without a burial, there can be no resurrection. And so it has to be the death, the burial. The Bible says that on the third day, Jesus Christ did arise. Now, what does that mean? That means that you and I have the same way to be able to go to heaven. Statement number one, I said everyone needs to be saved. Statement number two, everyone can be saved. Statement number three, everyone is saved the same way. I love this. I'm drawing her to a close. Everyone can know that they are saved. Everyone can know that they are saved. Now, I think that most of my boy, Jared, my youngest boy, come here, if you will. And so, this is Jared, my youngest boy. All right, stand right over there, if you will. One day, all of a sudden, Mrs. Wells, you come up here, you don't mind, do you? And I'll use you as an illustration just a little bit. And one day we were praying, and God, would you give us a little girl? God, we'd really like to have a little girl. And so I said, God, would you give us a little girl? And so we prayed and prayed and prayed, and Jonathan, our oldest boy, was born. Matter of fact, we already had a name picked out for a little girl. She was going to be called Rebecca Joy. Brother Mike, we had it all planned. We had everything planned. Have you ever planned something and God just did not see it your way? I mean, we had picked out stuff. I'm telling you, Brother Moore, we had picked out all sorts of pink stuff. I mean, it was going to be good. I mean, it was going to be great. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. Jonathan, would you stand? And Jonathan was born. He don't even look like a Rebecca Joy. Thank you. Be seated. And we kept praying. We want a little girl. And so, but we were satisfied. We were satisfied. God gave us a little boy, and we thought, oh, that's great. And so, but we prayed again and said, God, would you give us a little girl now? You gave us a boy, and we're so thankful about that. And he'll be a boy, and he'll help to lead that little girl. And so we prayed again, and God gave us Joshua. Joshua, I don't even know my kid. Joshua was the second boy. And then we prayed again, and all of a sudden Jared showed up. Then we prayed again. Where's Rebecca Joy? Where are you at? Stand up, Rebecca. And thank you. There's Rebecca. She finally showed up after a long time of praying. But we prayed and prayed and prayed. Now, we try to train all of our children to obey God. We really do. We love the Lord. We want our children to love their Lord. And I'll tell you honestly, I'm proud of my kids. But let's say that one day, Jared, you come here. Let's say that one day we tell our son to do something. And our son begins to rebel. I mean, our son folds his arms. He's kind of slow. Our son folds his arms, and our son vividly shakes his head no. It's about as vivid as you're going to get, isn't it? And we say, Jared, we love you, but now you need to obey mom and daddy. Now, you really do. You need to obey mom and daddy. Now, we want you to obey mom and daddy. And Jared shakes his head no and walks away. Goes to another man that's 39 that doesn't, never mind. And so he walks away. And he decides not to be close to us. Now, what does that do? Well, that breaks my heart. And that breaks mama's heart. And no child, you listen to me, ought to break your parents' heart that way. But he walks away, and so we can't get him back. We can shout at him. We can yell at him. We can jump up and down and throw an ever-living Baptist fit. But he's not coming back. We can run after him, get a shovel, hit him over the head, and kick him in the bottom. And he's determined, I'm not coming back. And he's gone. Now, wait a minute. One day, all of a sudden, he's out there, and he's eating all the husk that's out there from the swine left over. He's walking along, and he looks down at his shoes, and his toes are sticking out. He looks down at his socks, and his socks have more than one hole in them. It does have a hole in the top, but it's got more than one hole in them. So he notices that those socks, are not what they ought to be. And boy, he looks down, his knees are all messed up. And boy, he's got tears and tatters all through his clothes. And he begins to smell himself, and he wonders why the hogs ran away now, but now he knows. And boy, he begins to long, and he says, boy, I tell you what, I'd like to go home. I don't know if they'll ever accept me. Old mom and I, we're sitting out on the front porch, and we've got those young people's rocking chairs. We're rocking along in our young rocking chairs, and we see a silhouette By the way, all my boys are different. Their stature is different. The way they walk is different. The way they carry themselves, the way they structure themselves, their mannerisms are different. And I can tell the silhouette, my children, from a great distance away because I know them. One day, all of a sudden, Jared says, I'm going to go home. So he said, I long for mama's cooking. And I long for daddy's embrace. And I long to be close to them again like I used to be. So I'm going to get on my trail and I'm going back home. Boy, I hope they'll accept me. Mom and I are sitting out there in our young rocking chairs and we're rocking away and we're having a good time. And all of a sudden we see coming across the slope there is, looks like something strange coming. We've seen that strange body move before. Gets a little bit closer and we say, ooh, you know, that looks like somebody we know. He gets a little bit closer and says, oh, I recognize that. That's my boy. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not going to sit there in my rocking chair very long. Brother Magnet, I'm not going to sit there and just rock along and rock along as mama smokes on her pipe. No lunch today. But I'm not going to rock along and just rock along and just rock along and say, well, I hope he makes it. I'm not going to do that. I mean, you know, I see that boy and he's coming and boy, I see the silhouette and I say, boy, that's our boy, mama. That's our boy. Our boy is coming home. Now, by the way, he's always been my boy. See, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you never lose sonship. That's why the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Everlasting life is forever. I explain it to new converts this way. It is forevermore. You have forevermore life. It is from this time forevermore. And boy, when I see all of a sudden my son coming home, and I say, Mama, you stay here and I'll go get him. And she goes, oh, no, he's my boy too. And I'll put your pipe down, let's go. And so we run over and we grab him and we hug him and we love him and we bring him home. I want to show you something. Thanks, sweetheart. I want to show you something. That when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he is yours forevermore. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good on a bad day. That's pretty good when your wife gets up and she burns breakfast 5 times in one morning. That's pretty good. That's pretty good all of a sudden when mother-in-law shows up and you didn't know she was coming and she said, I'm here for a month. That's pretty good when the neighbor decides to help you out by mowing your grass and he cut it lower than it needed to be and it all died. That's pretty good when you go out and you have a flat tire, another one, you have 4 flats in one day with no spare for either one. That's pretty good all of a sudden when somebody gives you bad news or when somebody says that your bill is due and you don't have the money in the bank to pay. I'm telling you, you listen to me, as long as you're saved, you don't have it bad. Because the Bible teaches that when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, he writes your name in the book of life. It's sealed onto the day of redemption. And you don't have to worry about that anymore. You are covered by the blood. Are you listening to me? He that hath the Son hath everlasting life. Now, it should be that Father and Son, if you would please, or God the Father and his children. Boy, you're tall. But God the Father and his children. Boy, we walk along and we spend time together. And boy, you know, we pray together, if you will. And I pray, or he prays to God the Father. And by the way, when you're close to your Father, here's what takes place. They want to do some special things in your life. When you're close to your Father, and I know some dads in here that's done some very special things for your children, and I'm very proud of you. But did you know, when you're close to your children, you know, if he comes to me and he says, Daddy, he said, I need a pair of shoes. I said, boy, they sure do look pretty bad. And I know we've told you boys to buy your own shoes, but I can't have you walking around with that big toe hanging out. I can't do that. Look, go see Brother Allen. He's got shoes your size. No, I don't do that. You know what I do? I try and help him, and I try and love him, and I try and encourage. Hey, everybody needs somebody that believes in them. And you've got a God this morning. If you're saved, he believes in you. He can help you. He takes and he believes that you're one of his children, because if you're saved, you're saved. And you can come to him, and you can give that which is your request to him, and God can answer prayer. That's God. Now, may I say, statement number 1, thank you, Jairus, be seated. I said, everyone can be saved. Statement number 2, Everyone, are you listening to me? Everyone, statement number one, needs to be saved. Statement number two, everyone can be saved. Statement number three, everyone is saved the same way. Statement number four, everyone can be saved and know it. And know it. These things, he says, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, love it. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, he gives me a no-so salvation. I know that I'm saved. You know, the Bible teaches that when a person receives Jesus Christ, Revelation chapter 20, listen to it very carefully, and I'm done, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's not good news. Verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And you say, preacher, how can that be encouraging? I can tell you how it can be encouraging. Because the Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You say, preacher, I don't get it. Let me explain it to you. If my name's not found written in the book of life, one day if my name is not found written in God's personal reservation book, if I'm not taking care of everything that I need to take care of, if I've not received Jesus Christ as my Savior, who is the key to be able to open the door whereby I can go to heaven, who is my ticket whereby I can go to heaven because he paid the price that is owed for me to be able to go to heaven. The Bible says if my name is not found written in the book of life, that I'll be cast into the lake of fire. But when you receive Jesus Christ, get this, this is so good. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, here's what God does. God writes your name in the book of life. And your name is sealed by the blood of Christ onto the day of redemption. It's a holy crest, if you will. Have you ever seen the holy crest of a king or a queen? God's holy crest, if you would please, is greater than any king or every queen. I'm saying this. I'm saying that when you receive Jesus Christ, it settles it. For these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. When a person receives Jesus Christ, God says, now, your place is secured in heaven. It is so neat to be able to sit down with somebody, take a Bible, and them say, why? I thought you could get to heaven by works. Well, it's not what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. Well, I thought you could get to heaven by being good. Well, no. Here's what the Bible says. So many times have I gone around and talked to people, and I said, you know, here's what I want to do. I just want to make sure you're on the same page with God. Because I care about you. And I want to make sure that one day you and I are going to meet in heaven. Because I'd sure like to see you there. So here's what the Bible says. It's so important that we receive Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. Is he your salvation?
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. And if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you visit our church.